Hi, everybody. Will here from Canine Chronicle TV and Pro Plan. And today on the interview chair, we have John Ramirez. And it's a very interesting interview. So sit back and enjoy, John. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the interview chair with Will Alexander. Today, the special guest is AKC Judge John Ramirez. How are you, John?
I'm doing well, thank you, Will. Yourself?
I'm great. You look great. Things are going well out there. You look good.
Thank you.
How's the weather out there?
Today is a beautiful day. It's supposed to be in the 80s, and it's warming up.
It's cold here. It's not cold, but it's chilly. It's a damp chilly today.
We've had that for the last couple of weeks, but today it's going to be a beautiful day.
Oh, good. We had a nice day yesterday, but I think today is an overcast and chilly. Way it goes. All right, let's get started. I'm going to ask you how you got started in this sport that we all love. So,
actually, as a child, I had somewhat of an asthma situation, so I really couldn't go out and play with a bunch of other kids, and I don't know why my father thought that getting me a dog would be a good thing, so he got me a German Shepherd, and I played with that for a while. When that dog died, he bought me a Tibetan Spaniel, but that was before they were ever recognized.
And how old were you at this point? Sorry for interrupting.
He bought me my first dog probably when I was about 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my other one came about 13 or 14 years after that. And then I started watching Topper at some point and decided I wanted a St. Bernard. So he bought me a St. Bernard. And that went well. And then I saw a dog show someplace and asked him if he would take me. So he took me to a dog show. And then after that, he was driving me all over the place just to attend dog shows. Then finally, I said I wanted a show dog. He got me a show dog, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot in that history, John, and that's what I'm here to find out. So When you got your first show dog, how old were you?
My first dog, I probably was about 16, 17 at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where did you find this dog? Your dad found it, but where did he?
My dad found it, well, with my help, too. It came from a kennel in El Monte, a lady that had been breeding St. Bernards for a number of years, Roberta Subin at Zermatt Kennels. And it was through the help of Howard Brown that I got the dog.
Okay. Now, did you go to dog shows, and at that point, you already knew you wanted a St. Bernard. Did you specifically go and watch St. Bernards and start
I started watching them. I was fascinated with them and the Skye Terrier.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have you had Skye Terriers as well, then?
Oh, probably for over 50 years. Oh, I don't have any right now. But
I always associated you with St. Bernards. I don't know why.
Yeah, but no, I had those Skye Terriers for a number of years. And that breed, it was just by chance. My father took me to Santa Barbara, and I saw this black thing running across the yard. I mean, you know, going to the benches. And I tried to find that dog afterwards, and I couldn't find it. And it was a Skye Terrier, and it belonged to Chuck Brown. Jimmy de Richelin was the dog's name from France. And I wanted one. I tried to find one. I could not find one. I went to a friend's place for New Year's Eve in Pennsylvania, Arlene Anderson of Beauchevel Kennels. She raised St. Bernards. And lo and behold, she had a litter of Skye Terriers. So I told her I wanted one. She handed me one, told me to take it, and I did. And that was my Beauchevel's Wichita lineman, and that was the start of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny how some breeds go along with other breeds. It's like I didn't know about the St. Bernard Skye combination, but like you hear a lot about Irish Setters and Border Terriers and Afghans and Crested's and whatnot, but that's interesting. Wow. All right. I'm getting ahead. So you're at your first dog show with your St. Bernard now before we get to Skies. We'll touch on Skies afterwards. So,
okay. Well, I have to say that she was a sound dog, but she was less than pretty when I realized getting her in the ring. Needless to say, she didn't do very well. And it was after that that I kind of switched going to Marlene Anderson and getting the Beauchamp Bulldogs. My first dog from St. Bernard from Beauchamp was Champion Beauchamp's Doty Lamar Doug. She did, and she won very successfully. And I was very pleased with the head type on her. And it was a head type that I preferred.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you started gaining success with St. Bernard then?
That was probably just a year or two after my first dog. Yeah.
That's quick. Good job. So where did we go from there then? Yeah. When did you start breeding? When did you start doing things yourself?
It was kind of right after that. After Doty was old enough, that was my first litter. I never had too many litters. You know, my problem with having litters is letting go of the puppies. You don't know what's going to happen to them. Or how they're going to be raised. And so I really never wanted to be too much of a participant of that, even though I did have litters in both breeds.
Okay. So do you remember your first really successful dog?
That was one that I co-owned with a friend, Diane Thrasher. It was a German import. He was very successful, a specialty winner, not so much a big, you know, all breed show winner.
Right.
He did place in groups and he did very well. And the highlight of that dog was there's this very famous breeder, Albert de Luray from Europe, that came and did a St. Bernard specialty. And I believe it was the Pacific Coast specialty up in the Bay Area. At that time, St. entries were rather large, probably an entry of like 100. And, he pointed to Figaro, gave Figaro the breed, best of opposite sex, went to Figaro's daughter, and I believe reserve winner's dog was a Figaro son as well. But that was my highlight dog, and that was a problem. Yeah, no, that wasn't a problem. That was a good thing, yeah. And it was shortly after that I kind of like pulled away from dog shows at that point for a little while and came back. And my coming back was in large part due to Martha Almos and to Tom Conway. They got me very involved again.
I was going to touch on mentors then as well. So is that, would you consider those two big mentors as well?
I would say they were both, my biggest mentors and my biggest supporters. Yes, because at that time, you know, I had other interests, personal interests. And Tom kept saying, no, you come back. And Martha says, yeah, you're going to come back. I don't know if you knew Martha. She could be a little bit grouchy and very persuasive with that grouchiness. And so I went back.
How did you meet them both?
At a dog show. It was just out of the blue that I decided to go to a show and I ran into Tom. I didn't think he recognized me, but he came over to me, asked me where I'd been and told me that I should get back again in judging. And I told him, well, I wasn't sure about it. And he said, well, if you did, what would you do? And I said, I think I would like terriers. Tom said, no, you're not going to do the terriers. You need to finish that working group.
So you already applied for a working group.
Already had some breeds.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tom said, no, you're going to finish that working group. And so I said, okay. And in the meantime, I had joined the Toy Club and Great Western for a short period of time. And so I was going to the toy meetings, met Martha. Martha said, well, what are you going to do now? Said, no, I'm happy now. No, you need to get involved in toys. So Martha persuaded me, and I told her I want to do terriers. She said, John, no one's going to hire you to go across country to judge one dog. I said, okay, Martha, I will do toys. I have had toys in the past. I've had English toy spaniels. Right now I have some chins, and I've had pugs in the past. But Martha persuaded me to go on with the toys. I went on with the toys, and I finished that toy group. And then she said, okay, now you can do your terriers. So I went on with my terriers.
So you had working in toys before you started terriers then?
I did have my Skye Terriers already, but that was the only terrier breed I had. Yes.
Now, how old were you when you started, when you did your first breed, first applied?
I want to say I first applied in 72. AKC tells me it was in 75. And I want to dispute that, but I'm happy. They just sent me a notice the other day that it's been 50 years.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. So I was thrilled with that. And I said, okay, I can let those other 2 years go. But I'm sure I was judging in 72.
Wow, 50 years, John. I wouldn't have guessed. Wow.
It's a long time.
I didn't, so how old were you when you started that judging?
Well, I guess if it was in 75, I was 25 at that time. Wow. But I do think it was 2 or 3 years prior to that.
Well, what made you decide? We're going to go back to when you're 25, because that's a young judge, 25. What made you decide to judge, start that you wanted to become a judge?
Again, you know, I was doing matches, and for some reason, I don't know why. Fun matches in St. Bernard's were very big at that time. And again, it wasn't unusual to have like 75, 100 dogs at a fun match, you know, just a specialty match. And I don't know why, for some reason, people started inviting me to judge all over the country these fun matches. So I went, I enjoyed it. They persuaded me that I had an eye for a St. Bernard and that I should pursue the license. So in the beginning, that's all I wanted to be, was especially a St. Bernard judge.
St. Bernard judge, wow. That's amazing at 25. So when you become a judge, like I just became a judge a few years back after I finished being a handler, I have a mentor. Did you have a judging mentor?
Always, yes. I've always had someone with me, like Marlene Anderson and, Tom and Martha. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they relied on them for questions and whatnot. And
yeah. And often Tom would often come and watch me judge.
You know, how did that feel?
Well, it was uncomfortable in the beginning. And, you know, sometimes he would question what I did. And me, I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. And then all of a sudden, I started getting brave enough to tell Tom, I disagree with you. You know, this is what I like.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, I guess that's what he wanted to hear. And
well,
so finally, rather than satisfy, you know, him and just going along with him, he was happy that I had finally decided that this was what I was going to do, and this is what I wanted to do.
And how long were you just a St. Bernard judge where you decided to apply for more breeds?
I would say it was probably about 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I started to apply. I applied for the Newfoundlands. I applied for the Pyrenees. But I had good mentors in those too.
And did you go and find separate mentors for each breed, or did you?
You know, going to shows, I just happened like to go and plop myself down next to someone that had been in the breed for a long time that I didn't know had been in the breed. And during my trips to do all these fun matches everywhere, I did stop at certain kennels and look at the dogs there.
That's the way it should be done all the time. We don't see that as much anymore.
No, you don't.
No. You see, they go to seminars.
That is one of my pet peeves, because I don't think the seminars really, while they're instructive and they're a good learning tool, these institutes where you're taking on 6 or 7 breeds a day, you know, for 3 or 4 days, I don't see how one can possibly absorb it, leave the seminar and apply and actually know what they're doing. That has always.
And it always depends on, in my ideas anyway, it always depends on the student as well. Like you can teach, like people can sit there and listen. If they don't want to learn, if they're just there to check the box, there's nothing you can do about it. I always have this argument with Doc, who does my editing, because he always says, we have to change the education for judges. Education is out there. It depends on the individual.
On the individual. Yeah. It's unfortunate that too many just want to check the box.
Oh, for sure. I do kennel visits for mine and whatnot. And these are people I've known my entire life, so I know their family of dogs. So I get to go there and talk about certain things, and they let me pick out who I think is the best one of that bunch and whatnot. And it's been great, you know, hands on. It's been a great experience for me. So you did that at a younger age as a judge. Now, when you quit for a while, how long was the gap before you came back?
Well, when I say I quit, I still continued judging. I think at that time you had to do 3 assignments within a year. You know, otherwise they would just write you off. So I did manage to do that
I just lost your volume. Just mark down here. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah, okay, so we're back.
15, 16. So it was only 1550 to 1612, just so Doc can take that out of there.
Okay.
All right. So, so you still judged in between when
yes,
you were
I still judged
stepping it. Away a little bit.
You yeah, still... pretty much the judging part of it. And I wasn't going to shows as frequently.
Okay. And when you stepped away, I guess that just meant you weren't applying for more breeds. You were just...
I wasn't applying for more breeds. I really wasn't showing. And I just took the break. I was going to school, and my sister was having problems, and I ended up raising, you know, her five kids.
Wow.
So, yeah. So during that time, it just didn't seem fair to the kids to be gone and leave them with someone.
Oh, for sure. So how long have you stepped back before you applied for more breeds?
It must have been close to 20 years.
Wow, 20 years.
It was almost, I was still judging. I agree. I was still judging. Yeah. And it was that time that, in those 20 years that I went to a show. And like I said, ran into Tom and came back.
Now, during that 20 years when you were raising your sister's family, did you have a dog? Did you have dogs still?
Oh, yes. I could never be without a dog.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I always have to have a dog. But no, I always had dogs. Yeah, I still had Saints and I had the Skye Terriers.
Okay. So when you talked to Tom and Tom convinced you to come back, did you start actively showing again?
Oh, yeah, I did. And that's when I kind of, I don't know, I was looking through a magazine one time. I saw a picture. That's when I started getting involved with the toys. I saw a picture of an English Toy Spaniel. I wanted one. Again, I couldn't find one. So Tom said, we'll go to England. So I went to England and brought back some. And had very good luck with my English toys, too. I had a very nice one.
So, honestly, I hate to say it, John. I know you mostly by reputation through St. Bernard's. I didn't know much about your toy experience or your Skye Terrier experience. And I had Skye Terrier experience through Dr. Mean and Dr. Newsom. So I'm surprised I didn't realize you were involved as well, because I'd showed dogs for them as well. How did you get involved in that? You said Martha got you into the toys?
Martha, yeah, both Martha and Tom, because Tom had Chihuahuas at the time, and okay. I've had Chihuahuas also, yeah, that I co-owned with a very good friend of mine, Jill Hopper, and we had bought dogs from Dartan, and we had dogs that we had imported from Sweden. And Martha had Chihuahuas also. And it was both of them that got me going into them. And Martha would always tell me, you know, if she was judging locally, come to the show and sit right here. And she'd have a chair for me to sit there and to watch her judge. And then she'd come over and give me little tidbits, and then she'd go continue. But
those are amazing times. I've had those times as well. Those are amazing times that you don't realize that they're as important as they are.
They're very important, and I'm thankful because I've never met, other than, I mean, those two and probably like Marlene Anderson, that took the time and that it was almost like a school teacher said, you're going to sit here like Martha did, and this is what you're going to observe. This is what you're going to learn. And I had that yearning to learn. I wanted to learn. It was just, I was kind of a rebel and didn't like being told what to do. But Tom was kind of the same way too, but in a little milder manner. Yeah.
So you had success with English Toy Smails. Explain to me your first foray into English Toy Spaniels then.
Well, like I said, it was a picture that I saw, and his name was, what's his name? Adorable. Just a beautiful picture. I tried to find one. I had called Jerry Elliott to try to get one. Couldn't get one there. And I tried a number of places. Then finally, I saw this kennel in England, a Mantra, and I was going to Wales to judge a show, a Skye Terrier show. And while I was there, I ran into them and I met them, talked to them, and then they sent me two dogs. Yeah. One was Winston.
Brought them back.
And Winston, and he was a very good winner. Yeah, he was a nice winning dog. He's a very pretty dog.
Yeah. Now, when you went to the kennel, did you pick him out yourself, or did he just say, here, no, I want you to have this dog?
No, she picked him out for me.
Or she did?
Yes. Yeah, okay. She picked him out for me.
All right. It sounds like you've traveled everywhere judging. You in Wales, and you've been a busy guy by the sounds of it.
I have been very lucky in judging, and the dogs in general have opened a lot of doors for me. I did grow up traveling with my grandmother quite a bit and spent summers all over the world, but the dogs have opened up. I've gone to Wales, been to South America. I've judged a lot in Mexico. I've been invited to Australia, but those always fell through because I couldn't go. And I've been a number of places. Japan. I love Japan and Korea.
I've never been. I've been to China. I've always wanted to go to Japan because they look like they're doing so well in the sport of dogs. So
they are. They bought all the American dogs and they just have excelled in breeding them.
Well, I remember that when I was showing dogs, John, I had a lot of success, and I had a lot of clients end up selling their dogs to Japan after we had success with them here. So it was.
Yes, and it's incredible, like what the Japanese and the Koreans have done with the Pomeranian. You know, I mean, they are. And I can't remember who once told me that when the Koreans are coming, the Americans should just stay home because they are pretty, almost undefeatable. They are beautiful.
Well, I watched part of the National this year just online, and you could pick them out, and they were stunning. The entry this year was amazing, but it was you could tell that they're the ones that were in competition.
Yes.
So, if someone came to you and said they wanted advice, they wanted to become a judge, what kind of advice would you send their way?
I would like to know what their history is. Why they want to be a judge. And I would suggest that before they think about it, that they study, they go to the seminars, not a big group of seminars at one time, and they actually talk to people, not just go and mark boxes. You know, right. That they really prove themselves and try to be a good judge.
Yeah, because what we're seeing nowadays, it's unfortunate, we are seeing a lot of box checkers. And I hate to see it. You get to the shows, you can almost always pick them out. So
that's very true. And it's very obvious. And I just wish, like I had mentioned earlier, that they had the mentors that I had. Because I think whether they were good judges or bad judges, they were knowledgeable people. Right. You know, I mean, because some people might say that someone wasn't a good judge, and I hold him in high regard, not necessarily for what he did in the ring, but for what he taught me. And I learned not necessarily what he did, I had to do.
Yeah. Now, we touched on that you've judged all over the place. Yeah, there's some dogs, I don't want to talk about dogs that are still being shown, but some dogs that have filled your head and they're never leaving. You look upon them. Like I have a bank in my head of certain breeds and these dogs that represent each breed. Do you have that as well?
I do. There's one St. Bernard very early in my days. And to me, probably the best and greatest St. Bernard I have ever seen. And that would be Titan Von Mallen. In my mind, that dog's imprinted. And when I look at a St. Bernard, that's what I want to see. And he represents everything to me. And if he may be a dated dog by now, but that's a beautiful dog. And my first Skye Terrier that I ever saw, he stands out in my mind. And that was Jimmy de Richelin, owned by Chuck Brown, and the French import. And to me, he stands out in my mind. There have been other good ones and great ones.
Sure.
You know, but those are the ones that made an imprint on my mind, and they're the ones that I kind of set everything by. That's what I want to see.
Have you ever walked into that Best in Show ring and you look across the line, all of a sudden a dog just gives you goosebumps?
Oh, definitely. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Well, again, that was like a Titan. That was like a Jimmy. Peggy Helming had a Newfoundland, and I can't remember what his name is, that just set the mark.
Well, they had so many of them, unbelievable. So.
Yes, they have. They have had many, but there was one that was just absolutely fantastic, and he set them. I was already licensed for them, but when I saw him, he was it.
Yeah, those are exciting times to be a judge when you walk in and see those things. So you've had I don't want to touch on the garden yet because I want to talk about that afterwards. What exciting assignments have you had throughout your career? Anyone that's I'm sure you have had lots, but some that really stick out in your mind.
The ones that really stick out on my mind, you had mentioned the garden, but talk about that after the. St. Bernard National, the Newfie National, the Skye Terrier National, the English Toy Spaniel National, and the Minpin National. Those really stood out. To be invited to do them, number one, it's an honor to do any specialty, but to get to do their national, I really...
And your own breeds, too.
Yeah, to hold that in high regard and to be invited by your peers is especially... honorable.
Yeah, that is exciting. All right, let's touch on, was it 2017 you did New York?
I think that was the last time. I've judged breeds at the garden three times, and I did the group, I think, in 2017.
Well, how the first time you got that notice to judge breeds, how did you feel?
I was at work. Kenny called me and told me that I got this yellow envelope with a pointer on it. With a pointer on the lid. And I go, well, what's so special about that? And he says, John, it's from Westminster. And he had already opened it. And so he said,
how can you not, right?
you've been invited to go to Westminster. And I said, oh, that's bullshit. You know, I said, you're crazy. Why me? And then he said, I'm telling you the truth, you did. So I said, okay. And I just hung up the phone. And then I thought about it for a few minutes. And then I said, I have to leave. And I came home to read that letter. And I almost crying, I think, you know, was so happy that I had been acknowledged to do Westminster. Yeah.
That's exciting. Now, was that St. Bernard's? Were you doing St. Bernard's? Or
I did do St. Bernard's. Yes, I did do St. Bernard's. I think I did Akita's and Portuguese Water Ducks. Yeah.
And you said you judged breeds there, what, three times or twice now?
I judged them, I think, three times. I did breeds and then the group in 17.
Yeah. So when you got the notice, for the group, how did that go over?
That was just pure tears. You know, that was just excitement beyond excitement. Yes. No, that was, yeah. I always call it, I can't believe this is happening to me moment, you know, and it was terribly exciting. Yeah.
Wow.
And then just trying to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Have you heard who's judging the garden yet? Yeah. No, I haven't. So what was it like stepping into that group ring as a
I was
official?
Terrified. I was terrified. I was sitting there with the judges, and then when it was time for me to come down, I came down, I stepped on that green carpet. I stepped on the green carpet, and my heart started to flutter. I just knew I was going to fall down. But once I got going, I was okay. Yeah, no, that was...
Well, I watched it, and you looked the part, John.
So. It was a true highlight. It really was.
Yeah. So what's next then? What else can you do?
I'm very excited about doing Morrison Essex.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited about doing that again. I don't know how that happened, a show that only happens every 5 years, and how they happened to find me in a list of thousands of judges, you know. And I was very, very happy, and again, very honored that I get to be considered, that I got to be considered for that.
True. What are you judging there this year?
The Neos, the St. Bernards, and they're having a specialty there, I believe, and Greater Swiss.
Oh, yeah, the judge St. Bernards again. Well, that's fun. So do you have anything to do with St. Bernard? Do you still have a St. Bernard or no?
No, I have no St. Bernards. Right now I just have three French Bulldogs and two Japanese Chins.
French Bulldogs. You didn't even mention French Bulldogs.
I downsized. They're my mini saints.
Little big dogs, French Bulldogs. So what clubs are you involved with, John?
We're very active in the Toy Club of Southern California, which precedes Palm Springs, and very active in Palm Springs.
Okay. That's a great show to be involved with.
Oh, it is. And that's truly everybody involved in it. John Lowe and Angela, truly a labor of love, because they work constantly. There's no rest.
I had never been. I've been showing dogs forever. I had never been until 2019, I think, I first went with the Beagles. And I was in awe. No, it was just, it's an amazing, probably my very favorite outdoor show I've ever seen. It's quite a venue.
Yeah, and the grounds just set it off because they're beautiful.
How did you get involved with Palm Springs?
Well, the Toy Club, we had always been associated with the Kennel Club of Long Beach, and we always were preceded them, you know, 2 days before their shows. They were having a little bit of an issue, and Palm Springs invited us to go and join them. So it just went from there. Yeah, we got associated with them. Palm Springs invited us to join, and history since.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing show to be involved with. I just love that show. So I'll give you one more question. Tough question. I always find this tough, and other people find it tough too. If you were to meet the 20-year-old John now, what advice would you give John?
To pay closer attention. I paid a lot of attention. And I learned a lot from the people I had because I was really a dog crazy individual. And I loved the dogs. I didn't care what they pedigree or not pedigree. I just loved dogs. And, right. But as far as the learning part, I would really stress that they find the best mentors they could and that they just stuck with them. You know, yeah, I had been persuaded by a lot of people, well, you know, don't listen to them. Don't do that. But I stuck with the people. And I think because of it, I got to be where I am.
Well, there's always those naysayers that try to talk you into joining their group.
Right.
Because it's well, like one of my biggest mentors is George Alston, and he always taught me that if you want to be involved in the group, that at dinner time you're probably their topic because you beat them all day. So, but I know it's a tough one, but that's how George talks. So what's next? Where do you go next?
You're Morris in Essex, and right now I have my four groups. I do the working, the toys, the terriers, and on sporting. I have a couple of herding, and I have a couple of hounds. I love sight hounds, so I would like to get a couple more sight hounds. And the herding, I'm not sure if I really want to finish the herding group. I mean, it's a lot, and yeah. I'm not young. So the interviews are a little bit tough, and so I really cut down when I do interview on the number of breeds because the memory is just not there, and under stress, it's gone.
I find that hard to believe talking to you. So you're not going to go all breed then?
Oh, no. That's unless they invite me, maybe. You know, but that's not my plan. Yeah.
Okay. But are you going to finish the hound group?
Or just stick with the kind hounds? Of right now, my mind is just set on just the sight hounds. That's mm-hmm. what I like and that's what I want to pursue. And like I said, even with the herding group, which at one time was part of the working group, you know, I feel very comfortable with them. But no, I think I just want to dabble.
Yeah. I get it. It's a lot. When I worked for Bob Stebbins, he tried to convince me that nobody could actually be an all breed judge. It's too much work. There are, he said, there obviously are, but because we need them. But he said it's hard to know all that. You just can't.
Yeah, so. It is hard. And how do you keep it all together? You know, when you have all those dogs in front of you, I would imagine it is very difficult.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your time. I've been trying to get a hold of you, and I finally did. So it's good. We met last year, didn't you? Or year before?
I think it was the year before. Yeah.
Calgary. Yeah, so. Yeah, that was it's great catching up with you, and I hope to see you somewhere down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. I had a great time. It took me a while for us to hook up. I'm glad we did because I learned things I had no idea about. So thank you so much again. If you like to see what you're seeing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button, and we'll see you down the road somewhere.